You are listening to Kilometer Zero by the Cycling Podcast, powered by Super Sapiens, energy management for committed athletes and coaches.
Well, Daniel, here we are in Burgos, dining in a very nice restaurant. This chimes for
Jay Rayner, nice.
This chimes for me with a famous Italian phrase.
In bocca al lupo, you're thinking of good luck. In the wolf's mouth, you say literally in Italian.
But this place, is this not the Spanish equivalent?
La bocca del lobo, the wolf's mouth, but it doesn't have the same significance in Spanish.
Well, you learn something new every day. Anyway, it looks very nice. We're eating very nice food. And in this first episode of Kilometer Zero from the Vuelta a España, we're going to hear from our three audio diaries. This is our introduction to our three audio diaries. I mean, James Knox of De Koenig Quickstep really needs no introduction. He's kept, well, I can't keep count of how many audio diaries he's kept now for the Cycling Podcast, but always very popular. James very honest, very raw in his retelling of the race. And when we asked if he'd be willing to do an audio diary for us again this year, he seemed very keen to do so. It's become part of his ritual of doing a Grand Tour. So we're going to hear again from James Knox. Daniel, what do you expect from James Knox in this Vuelta?
Well, I think James Knox will be delighted about the fact that he should have a lot of freedom here at the Vuelta. He's performed very well in the Vuelta before. He performed extremely well in 2019 when he was flirting with the top positions, the top 10, throughout the race. And it's going to be really interesting to see how he gets on in the mountains. Obviously, a race that he enjoys. He has proven himself and his abilities in this race, so we will follow him with great interest.
And it's the first time he's done two Grand Tours in a season, so that I think will be of interest to him as well. Our second diarist, Pavel Sivakov, he kept an audio diary for us at the Tour de France last year. It was a sort of a bad omen maybe, because he had two terrible crashes on the opening stage, and I remember wondering whether we would actually hear from him at all, but he stuck doggedly to the task of sending us daily diary entries. And it was actually, although it was a terrible tour for him, it was great to get to hear what it was like to just suffer through the tour with his crash wounds and to readjust his sort of expectations throughout that race. So he's keeping an audio diary for us again this year. I mean, Pavel Sivakov, a rider who's clearly very talented, he's ridden well at the Giro, he's won the Tour of Poland, you know, he's won World Tour races. But here at the Vuelta, he seems very much to be in a supporting role, and he seems quite content with that. Adam Yates, Richard Carapaz, Egan Bernal, all above him in the pecking order. I don't know, he's at a point in his career where you might expect him to be leading a team in this race, but Ineos Grenadiers, that's not very easy, is it?
It's not El Cid, of course. We're in Burgos, the city of El Cid, the famous military mastermind of the 11th century in Spain.
I actually told him about this tonight, that he's been called, the nickname El Civ has been coined. And I originally described El Cid as a warlord. I then changed that to soldier, which I thought had less negative connotations.
El Cid, campeador, a master of the battlefield, who reigned for many years over Valencia. So we're going towards Valencia, and there's an uphill finish there at Cullera, and there's another uphill finish not far from that Balcón de Alicante. So I expect to see El Cid come into his own on those stages.
I mean, he's made a gentle start. You'll be hearing his diary entry from today's stage, which was stage two, that he sees comments on social media about him having lost time today. That's very much part of the plan. You know, he is here as a domestique to help riders, but knowing his talent and knowing that, you know, anything can happen in Grand Tours, anything is possible with El Cid. Our third diarist, Joan Bau, a left field candidate, this one, Euskaltel Euskadi rider. He's 24 years old. I met him 5 years ago on a training camp in Gran Canaria. He was then part of Alberto Contador's development team. A very bright guy, spoke really good English, and he was at university then studying sports science, and he was very keen to and very determined to continue and finish his studies. But he's ridden for an Italian team for a couple of years. He's now with Euskaltel Euskadi, a very famous, familiar team. The orange jerseys are known and loved by cycling fans who followed cycling in the last 20 or 30 years. That team's been revived. Joan Bau is part of that team. Daniel, I'm not going to ask you what you expect from Joan Bau, but what do you expect from Joan Bau? Well, I am actually going to ask you that.
Well, Rich, he confused and confounded me, or rather the commentators on the feed that I was watching for the Vuelta a Burgos a couple of weeks ago, they were continually confusing me because they kept talking about an ataque de Joan Bau. And I kept thinking, well, Jumbo Visma are not in this race. And it was our audio diarist who was very aggressive, particularly on the stage at Lagunas de Neila, the queen stage of the Vuelta a Burgos. Good climber, promising rider. And, you know, Caja Rural, BH, Burgos Biache, and Jumbo's team, it's a big audition for them, isn't it, the Vuelta? Because, you know, we've talked a lot in the last couple of years about Movistar and how they need to reinvent themselves. They're on the lookout for Spanish talent that hasn't been picked up, and there are a lot of these sort of guys in their early 20s who will be very aware of the fact that there are opportunities potentially to move up to the World Tour, and hence I expect their performances to reflect that at this Vuelta.
Well, we really wanted to hear from a rider on one of those teams, and Joan Bau was the perfect candidate. We're very open, and they're very open to questions from you as well. So if you have a question for any of our audio diarists, please send it in by social media or by email, contact@thecyclingpodcast.com. But without further ado, let's cross over and hear from our audio diarists at this year's Vuelta.
Hi everyone, I'm back again. I'm starting to imagine you're all getting sick of hearing from me, but anyway, I keep getting invited back to do the diaries, so I'm here. Back to comment on another Grand Tour this year, my second Vuelta, and also, yeah, the second of the season, so I guess in some sense, entering new territory for me. Interested to see how this Vuelta goes. Very happy to be here. Haven't raced so much since the last time I spoke to everyone on the diary. I had a good holiday after the Giro, well-earned one. And then plenty of solid training. I went to Tokyo as reserve, but in the end didn't race, but still had a great time and great experience. And then since then, just San Sebastian, and now here I am in Burgos, ahead of the time trial this evening. So yeah, difficult to say exactly how I'm going, but had a lot of time training. Training's been going well generally, so yeah, I guess I'm excited to get stuck in as ever, and yeah, quietly confident that I can have a good race. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, as seems to be the way in a Grand Tour. I'm not going to start pipping off any massive ideas of what I'm going to do, this or that. But, yeah, I'd like to get stuck in. I'd like to have a double for GC. And then if that's not working out, try and go for some stages. You know, we've got a sort of stage hunting team here, in a way. We've also got Mauri Van Sevenant, young guy who's probably got GC aspirations in the future, but probably not here. And then Fabio and the boys to help him in the sprint, and also Andrea Baggioli, who's come back from a knee injury at the start of the year. But he's got a good kick, he's a punchy rider, and he climbs very well. So I think between the eight of us, we should be able to get involved. And then, yeah, other than that, very relaxed start. I'm getting into the Spanish way already. Nice lazy morning this morning. The parkour is open to riders to have a final look at later, I think at about 3 p.m. So we're going to pootle 2-3k into Burgos from our hotel, ride around 2-3 times and then come back. And then, yeah, then from there it's just getting up for a late kickoff for the prologue this evening. But yeah, it's a nice course actually. Start at the cathedral, climb up a bit. Fast little descent with a few tricky corners, and then just sort of hold on into town really. Couple of long straights, couple of k of more narrow twisty and some pavé to finish. So actually I think it's quite a nice course. I think it's tricky to call a winner. I think you've got to be pretty explosive, pretty fast on the descents and around the corners just to maximize every second here and there if you're really gonna take the win. But I've seen that Roglic is the big favourite, but yeah, I think there could be some of those sprinter prologue specialists who might catch him out. So yeah, And from us, we've obviously got Czerny, Joseph, good TT rider, and I think he'll be excited to get stuck in as well. So yeah, that's I think that's all for the moment. Not much else to say. Give a little debrief after the prologue this evening, and yeah, any questions or queries or whatnot, fire them over on Twitter or any other means. I'll get round to answering them. But other than that, hoping for a good 3 weeks.
Back in the hotel room now, just watched the end of the TT. Roglic taking the win ahead of Aramburu. But Czerny and Bagioli doing very well for us. Bagioli, I think he's in the white jersey, so that's a nice start for us. Wasn't such a nice start for me. I really suffered, to be honest. It was, I don't know if you can hear, but my throat is ripped to pieces. Really suffering. Explosive effort, you know, got that. What's the right way to describe it? Just like, yeah, just dry, irritated throat from the effort in the hot, dry air. So yeah, a bit of a shock to this welter, to be honest, to get it up going. But happy it's done. Anyway, I tried to get out hard and do the climb, full gas. But I didn't feel that great. I was just sort of hanging on. And then, yeah, tried to survive, taking no risks. But, yeah, really, I suffered a lot. I didn't feel great. So, yeah, just happy that's done now. Not really much to say, to be honest. It's a very hot day, obviously. But did cool off by the time for my TT, so no excuses. But hopefully feel better the next few days.
Well, not a great start. Managed to already forget to do the audio diary after only the first stage, first road stage anyway, but here I am, morning of day three. It's drastically cooler. About to get on the bus. But yesterday was alright. Very hot. I think it was like 38 degrees. We had a lot of stress. Thinking there was going to be crosswinds or everyone was prepared. If there was going to be any crosswinds, but in the end the wind was a lot less than forecast for one, and it seemed to come a lot more crosshead in the important moments, the most exposed parts of the race. And then yeah, we had a bit more cross tailwind at the finish, but yeah, it was just fast the line. I did lose a little bit of time. I broke a wheel, my front wheel got sort of taken out, but didn't crash just before the big crash. I think, yeah, I was just chasing back on. I changed the bike at like just after 6k, sprinting in between the cars, and then yeah, there was the big pile up between 5 and 4k to go. So yeah, a bit disappointed to lose a bit of time, but I chased as hard as I could. Almost got back to that group with quite a few of the big other favourites. But yeah, I felt good. Managing the heat all right. Kept drinking as much as I could, taking trips back to the car, ice down the back of the neck. Every time I was at the car, poured a cold water over my head, things like that. And just, yeah, amazing really. Sort of get used to riding in the heat. I think it was like 38 degrees average temperature. So yeah, pretty hot, but a lot colder today. And yeah, we've got a summit finish today. A lot of headwind. Sort of curious to see how it goes, to be honest.
You are listening to Kilometer Zero by the Cycling Podcast, powered by Super Sapiens, energy management for committed athletes and coaches.
I'm Daniel Holt. I'm the development program manager for Team Nova Nordisk. I help manage the talent ID camps here. We have the professional team, and then we have our development team, which is the feeder team for the professional team. And we always are filling new spots. And so really, this is just the tryout camps to qualify for our development program and development team. In years past, we've just had people apply to our website online, and they just present to us their story and their resume. From there, we kind of just can see what their training is, and they upload training every month, and we keep an eye on them through that. It's been interesting, actually, through the whole COVID experience, that we've actually switched to an online platform through the Sufferfest, And we have two virtual camps now, and people qualify through our virtual camps in order to come to our physical in-person camp. So it's kind of forced us to get with the program of the virtual experience on the bike. And through that whole experience, it's actually been pretty valuable because we can really see how strong the riders are. The virtual stuff is great for finding a really strong and physically gifted athlete. But sometimes, I think, as everybody knows, that doesn't really translate to the road. I think having the in-person camp is invaluable, especially because, I mean, that's what we do. We race on the road. We race in real life here. And there's a lot more to it than just who's the strongest. There's a lot of tactics involved. You have to be smart. You have to know how to save your energy. It's not just a one-hour effort on the trainer. It could be a 4 or 5 hour day, 5 hour race. We have descents, so you have to be able to handle your bike. If you're trying to be a sprinter, you got to be able to handle your bike in the group and be physical and be aware. The in-person part is, I would say, it's 75% of everything that we need. And it's actually interesting because sometimes we have some riders that their power numbers on the trainer are incredible, but that doesn't really translate to the road. And so we'll have people that we really think are going to be the strongest riders when they come to camp. But then when they get here, we actually see that they actually can't keep up with everybody.
Well, first solidarity entry for that 2021 Vuelta. What else can I say? Happy to be here. Happy to be back with the cycling podcast. And yeah, hope to have 3 great weeks around Spain. Yeah, it's been a special season this year with crashing out of the Giro, with Olympics, and yeah, really happy to be here on the last Grand Tour. I think it was really important for me to get. To get a selection here wasn't easy, that's for sure. But yeah, I'm here with the boys. We've got a super strong team, super strong leaders here, so really hope we can fight for the win during these 3 weeks. So yeah, yesterday was the team presentation. Yeah, still can still feel the impact of the COVID on that kind of things, really. Yeah, not many people, and yeah, nothing special to say about that, really. Was quite quick, quite simple, nothing crazy. I remember my first when I did my first vault in 2018, the presentation was nicer in Malaga, that's for sure, you know. But everyone now understands why it's all be like this. So yeah, just a new world, I would say. A little prologue tomorrow, little TT. Good to start like this, I guess. Because it's gonna give more or less an order to the GC on the first day, and a bit more control over the race, less stress, even if it's gonna be a really stressful day. Because of the terrain and the wind, I guess it's always nice to start with a little prologue. A bit late, I have to say. Really a bit late. My starting time is 19:37, which is usually the time I have dinner normally. So yeah, proper Spanish time. I'll have to settle into that Spanish timing now from now on. Late finishes, late dinner. I'm not a big fan of that, to be honest. But like I said, not a big fan because, yeah, going to bed with a full belly. Yeah, looking forward to that one. I did a little recon yesterday, and going for another one tomorrow with closed roads. It's gonna be basically up and down. Good deal, punchy TT. It's gonna suit our leaders really well. I think it's good course for them, and just keep tuning in, and hope to give some good insights throughout these 3 weeks. at the moment, nothing is really happening. It's like the usual stuff a week prior to a Grand Tour. And yeah, so on my second Vuelta, I hope to create better memories this time. Last time I didn't finish, I crashed, I think, on stage 9. And then DNF on stage 14, I guess. So yeah, really hoping that this one will go better. And yeah, I think it will. Honestly, I don't want to think otherwise. Okay, so stay tuned in and listen to the cycling podcast. Hey guys, first stage of the Vuelta, little prologue around Burgos. No, it was a beautiful course in the town of Burgos, starting at the cathedral, finishing near the cathedral as well. Good little heat out in the hill in the first part, and then pretty technical downhill and fast finish. I think everyone overall in the team did a pretty good job. We all had a good little prologue. Chapeau to Roglic. He just smashed that one. We had Dylan leading for a bit, Adam leading for a bit. So no, it was a good day for us. obviously, it was really warm, and for me personally, I was trying to find a good strategy, like cooling down strategy in between the warm up and the start. What's best to do? Ice vests, no ice vests, and I think it was a good learning for this, for the rest of the race, and obviously for the future, how to manage these super hot days. Yeah, it was warm, as I said, super dry. Like, you could feel when I did the recon, I did 3 laps of the course, and my mouth was just super dry. And same during the warm up, I just had to sip a bit of water to make my throat a bit more wet, because otherwise was not something really comfortable. And yeah, then big heat out, full gas effort. I think it's a great opener for the rest of the race, for what's coming, and probably today is gonna be a fair amount of stress. Might be some crosswind, or like part of crosswind. Might not split, but it's gonna definitely be stressful. I think everyone will know where is the crosswind part, and everyone will want to be in front at that point. So yeah, in these days like this, sometimes you even wish there is some wind, because no matter what, there will be stress, and you want that stress also to be for something. We'll see. But normally sprint day, pretty straightforward. Be stressful, one of those typical first stages of a Grand Tour. The good thing is probably that we had a prologue yesterday, so there is already kind of a leader, someone to pull and all that kind of stuff. It's gonna be hard to take the red jersey, let's be honest, today. So this will be more of a battle for the stage win for the sprinters, and then straight into the business tomorrow for the GC guys. So good exciting first few days. Yeah, we'll see what happens today. I'll keep you updated. Hoping to have a good one. We'll try to enjoy that one as much as possible. Cheers, boys. Hey, guys. First road stage of the Vuelta done. Done and dusted. Finished safe and sound. Was supposed to be bit of a crazy day today. Honestly, I think everyone was really nervous about that day today. Super hot day, super hot stage. We started, I could feel a bit of tension, on the start line. Everyone was expecting a lot of wind. Obviously, the Burgos area is really open, and I've done Burgos last week, Tour of Burgos, and realized that. Yeah, I was expecting a bit of a crazy day. It was a bit more calm than expected. Obviously, a bit of stress in a bunch, as always, on those opening days of a Grand Tour. Nothing much to say, really. We started in the wine region, really, Ribera del Duero. I wish we we were on a wine tour and not stressing around in the peloton. No, honestly, wasn't too bad. My job today was to be there for the boys in the first, more on the first part of the race, getting the team in a good position, and then relaxing towards the end. Towards the end of the race, saving my legs for tomorrow, which is going to be already big GC day, up to Picon Blanco. So yeah, I'm seeing a bit of comments on the social medias that I lost time and stuff. But actually, yeah, I'm not here to play my own card. And yeah, good to see the boys also finishing safe and sound in the front today. Yeah, because there was quite a nasty crash around 4K to go after one of the roundabout. We got Adam. Unfortunately, he was behind that crash and lost about 30 seconds there. But all good for him. Luckily, he didn't hit the deck. So yeah, we're all safe and sound. One of them stressful, a bit dodgy days done. I guess it's always a challenge. You know, you never know how that will go. Tomorrow, first climbing test. I think is gonna be already, already a great indicator of everyone's shape, how everyone is going. And yeah, I'm quite looking forward to that, also to see how I'm going, how the boys are going, how all our opponents are going. Not the hardest finish, but yeah, we've done that climb also in the Vuelta a Burgos last week. So yeah, it's good to know it. Really, really regular climb. There is some really steep ramps, but then you come onto flatter parts and quite open over the top. Apparently it's going to be headwind, so probably less attacks. It's not going to favor any attacks there, because yeah, as soon as you get in the wind on that that upper part, you better stay in the wheels, to be honest. And yeah, really, really steep last ramp. I guess that's the ideal spot for an attack. So yeah, it's going to be, I think, very tactical finale for a man in shape. So yeah, good to get that one done, and looking forward to tomorrow. Really, it's gonna be a good test for everyone.
Hello, my name is Joan Boa. I'm a rider for Euskaltel Euskadi, and this is my second year in the team, my fourth year pro. I was before in an Italian team, and we are here racing at the Vuelta a España, and we've done the first two stages. Yesterday we did the time trial, a prologue of 7 kilometers with some tricky roads at the beginning with a hilly start and a descent, and afterwards we had some avenues to go very fast with the bike, and we finished again in the cathedral beside the start. And today we finished the second stage. It was a bunch sprint stage with 166 kilometers, I think, with very hot weather, a bit less than yesterday, but still very hot, 33-34 degrees Celsius, and at the end the wind didn't appear as hard as we thought, and that was better for us, so we were much more relaxed in the bunch. And at the end we had three of our riders in the top 20, and in the sprint there was a crash in the last 3.5 kilometers, I think, and they weren't caught in this crash, and they could manage to go for a good sprint. And at the end, we also managed to win the team classification, so it was quite a good day for us. And tomorrow will be another stage with the third stage with finishing Picon Blanco. Was a very hard climb, and we think we can get some riders in the break and do a good job. So, see you in the next days.
You've been listening to an episode of Kilometer Zero by the Cycling Podcast at the Vuelta a España. Thanks very much to our three audio diarists for their entries. If you have any questions for them, please do send them in. This episode was produced by Adam Bowie.